Google has changed the world by instantly, reliably delivering relevant and helpful search results. Because page rankings are determined in part by how many users link to a given page, placing high in a search result seems like a de facto endorsement from the internet at large. But what if you could move yourself up in Google rankings by being most disliked? New York Times reporter David Siegel wrote a story last Friday about a woman named Clarabel Rodriguez who purchased contact lenses and some designer eyeglasses from the online store DecorMyEyes.com. When the package arrived, according to Rodriguez, among other problems, the eyeglasses were counterfeits. That's when she contacted Vitaly Borker, the man behind Decor My Eyes. And according to Siegel, things quickly got out of hand.
And when she made it clear to Vitaly, who always poses as one of his alter egos, in this case, a man named Tony Rousseau, that she wanted to return them and that she would contest this charge on her credit card, he just erupted. And that was the beginning of about 2 months of very, very unpleasant email and phone harassment. The day that the credit card company finished its investigation, someone posing as Clarabel Rodriguez called in and said, "I dropped this contest." So Clarabel was contacted by Citibank, who said, "Well, we're glad that you've dropped your contesting of these charges and your credit card has been billed again." She just flat out said, "Look, you've been hoodwinked. Someone posing as me has called." Citibank completely stonewalled her. I mean, they flatly refused to even entertain that complaint.
Now, Clarabel Rodriguez dealt not only with Borker and with Citibank. She took her complaints elsewhere as well, did she not?
She figured out a little too late that Vitaly / Tony Rousseau had been complained about endlessly on a bunch of consumer websites, including one called GetSatisfaction.com. She also posted a thing on that website that said, "I'm going to try to build a case against him, and anyone who's had interactions with him should write to me, and we'll bring it to this detective who is looking into the case." That further incensed Vitaly and drove him to new heights of nastiness.
Okay, so naturally you contact Vitaly Borker.
I called him because he had posted something on Get Satisfaction and said, "All of the complaining that you do helps my Google ranking."
From what little anybody knows about the Google algorithm, it's based on the number of links to your pages. And if lots of people link to them, that pushes your ranking up.
And he was kind of weirdly delighted to share what he thought was this interesting business model, because Google couldn't tell the difference between withering critiques and adulatory buzz. He felt like he had discovered some remarkable new strategy to succeed in web commerce. He basically spends all of his days in a lather, either selling glasses or screaming at people who've bought from him and are trying to return them.
I can sort of see how being a bore moved his page rank up, but has he no fear of how these other businesses on which he depends, his web hosting company, his internet service provider, might react to his shenanigans?
It was next to impossible for Clarabel to get any traction with any of the complaints that she made. MasterCard does not inspire a lot of fear in Vitaly Borker, because it turns out that he got bounced from their system last year and he just changed something about his identity and got back on. More than anything, it was just a lesson in how futile life is for a consumer who just has a phone and doesn't have a newspaper standing behind her or him to help out.
But as it turned out, Clarabel Rodriguez did have a newspaper. And as a consequence of your story, a number of things have happened. Maybe most amazingly, Google has made fixes that it says will mitigate the problems created by characters like Vitaly Borker. That's quite a feather in your cap.
I'll say, I think it's the first time anything has changed as a result of anything that I've written.
You know, as I saw your story, I wondered to myself if there's actually a bona fide business model in making a jerk of yourself in order to move up in page rankings, or whether this is an outlier.
I think he is an outlier. I think he is an extreme case. I write a column every other week for the Sunday Business section where people write to me and complain about things, and I try to call the company that has wronged them and rectify the situation. And mostly it's just companies that are ignoring people. They're not out to terrify them.
Some of this is about the quirks of the Google algorithm, but some of it also has to do with the people's habits when using search engines and their seeming reluctance not just click on something and do business there because they're at the top of the list, but to drill at least a couple of levels deeper to find out what's what.
Anytime you buy anything on the web, just type the name of the company and the word complaint into a Google search, and you will learn everything you need to know.
I'm typing in David Siegel, New York Times, complaint. Let's see what we come up with. Oh.
There's a violin maker by that name. I'm sure it's about him.
David, thanks so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
David Siegel is a reporter for the New York Times. That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Mike Vuolo, Nazanin Rafsanjani, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, and Brett Jaspers, with more help from Nerida Brownlee, and it was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineers this week were John DeLure and Dylan Keefe.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Ellen Horn is WNYC's senior director of national programs. And the cream in our coffee, bassist composer Ben Allison, wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.